The devotee thus surpasses the subtle objects of different senses, like aroma by smelling, the palate by tasting, vision by seeing forms, touch by contacting, vibrations of ear by ether, identification, and the sense organs by little activities. The devotee thus surpassing the gross and subtle forms of coverings enters the plane of egoism, and in that status he merges the material modes of nature, ignorance and passion, in this point of neutralization, and thus reaches egoism in goodness. After this, all egoism is merged in the Mahatattva, and he comes to the point of pure centralization. So, here, Maharaj Parikshit, is hearing from Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Srila Sukadeva Goswami, after explaining about concentrating on Virat Rupa, the next stage is concentrating on the Lord within the heart. So, how explanation we read in the earlier verses, explanation how Lord looks like inside, within the heart, and how a yogi should practice concentrating on the Lord within the heart. And in the earlier verses, we have discussed about the various stages, various process of how the life air is blocked by blocking the air holes in the body, and the life air is identified, which is at the portion of navel, and from navel the yogi takes that air, life air, to the abdomen, from abdomen to the heart, to the chest, to the various stages like heart, chest, palate, eyebrows, and cerebral pit, and from there that should be released. And this is in one of the verses Prabhupada mentioned in the purport about various chakras in our body. There is two chakras Prabhupada mentioned, as Swadhisthana chakra, Manipuraka chakra, Anahata chakra, Vishuddha chakra. These are the chakras Prabhupada mentioned. So there's some more chakras like Ajna chakra. So And once it reaches, the lighter reaches the head portion, and before that, the seven holes in the body, he closes the seven holes in the body, that is nostrils, two nostrils, and ears, and eyes, and then mouth. And generally, if anybody who does not follow this process, the life air may go in any of these holes, or generally, Prabhupada mentioned that it is from the mouth, the life air goes out. But the perfection of yogi is if he is able to release his life air from the cerebral pit, that is from the head, and that makes it, that punches the head and that goes out. So, and these verses are, you know, bit complex to understand, right? You know, if you just see the translation, that, you know, ignorance is merged here and then egoism is merged here. So first of all, we are not able to see all these things. These are because we can conceive something which we can see. If we can understand that, okay, you know, five elements, that is Pancha Mahabhuta, that is Bhumi Rapo Nalo Vayu Kham, that is earth, water, air, fire, you know, after the soul leaves the body, okay, these elements are merged into, you know, whatever, you know, if he burn or if he bury, or, you know, it will merge into whatever place it is associated with it. But it is difficult to understand these subtle elements. So, to avoid any confusion, or, you know, Prabhupada here gives very detailed explanation of the parallel path which is practical today, which we can follow. So that, you know, we will not get confused, or we will not get too much, you know, think about how this process, which particular Prabhupada clearly mentioned that this is not practical for present day, even though it is authorized process. 5,000 years ago, when, you know, Vedic process was very much prevalent, people used to follow Vedic process, Vedic path, at that time it was possible. Because the children at the age of 5 or 6, you know, they are sent to sent for training under the guidance of a able spiritual master. And he is trained in Brahmacharya in following various austerities. You know, like, you know, we all send our children to some, you know, the kindergarten and first standard, second standard, and wherein, you know, all the children learn the same thing, whether they may be, you know, whatever kind of background they may have, like, you know, they may be in sattva guna or rajoguna or tamoguna or mixture of any of these, but for all children one kind of education is given. But in the olden days, in the Vedic period, it was not so. So, you know, spiritual master used to identify, you know, what guna this person is having, and accordingly the sufficient education, individually this education was given, and they were trained in Brahmacharya, how to follow Brahmacharya, and which is very, very important. And so today, so we are basically, we are not, you know, competent to follow this process. And it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that, you know, we have the right process for this age of Kali. And Prabhupada also mentions in about the yoga practice. Today there are many, you know, yoga societies who make use of this word yoga and make complete mockery of yoga. Actually, this yoga process is meant for, you know, coming out of this cycle of birth, death, old age, disease, and come out and get elevated and achieve God realization, self realization. But, and which process is, like, you know, it starts from Ashtanga Yoga of Patanjali. It starts from Yama Niyama. Yama is, you know, Yama Niyama is do's and don'ts. You know, that starts with regulative principles, like, you know, get up early in the morning before sunrise and take cold water bath. And there are so many principles one should do, and one should not, you know, do so many other things. And one should follow celibacy. But today's yoga, whatever we see, there is no Yama Niyama. They directly start with the third stage. There is no Yama Niyama, it's Asana Pranayama. Little bit of that is thought. And that too, it is not for any centralization. It is basically to maintain the body, or to, you know, come out of obesity, or suppose if you are not able to, you know, have all kind of food, so that, you know, with this yoga practice you may be able to digest everything. or maybe, you know, to maintain the figure or body or whatever, you know. So these are the purpose for which the so-called yoga is used today, which is very unfortunate. It's good that if they Prabhupada mentioned that it's gymnastics, or, you know, it is some kind of exercise, bodily exercise. So it is good if they mention so that, you know, we will not misuse the word yoga. But today, if you talk about yoga, people understand that yoga means this exercise. So one of my colleagues, once I was discussing, you know, we practice yoga, you know, Saturday, Sunday, what you do? You know, some bhakti yoga, something. So yoga, you know, I'm interested. So then, then we had a discussion. Then I said that, you know, we chant the holy name, you know, meditate in the holy name, transcendental vibrations we meditate on, and then there is a process. No, I'm interested in that, you know, the bodily postures, you know. So that yoga. So this one is, this Buddhists and all follow, you know, that they chant also. But, you know, I'm interested in that yoga. So people, you know, most of the people, except outside India, for them yoga is, unless and until somebody studies what yoga is, or people may have theoretical understanding that there are 8 stages, but other stages are not for us. It is basically Yama, you know, Yama Niyama and all are not for us. It is basically the Asana and Pranayama, which is used, you know, even yoga societies, they promote these postures, various postures, you know, for particular disease. If you do this asana, then you don't get, you know, diabetes or cancer or something, you know, or for stomach pain or various diseases, this yoga, and which is just the byproduct or actual misuse of yoga. You know, if you don't practice this kind of yoga, there is a possibility that there is a natural check and balance in the body. So we may not do so many nonsense, which we may do by practicing yoga. Because by practicing yoga, we are able to, you know, digest so many things. Otherwise, we may not be able to digest. You know, I know of one person who used to train students in yoga. And, his food habit, if you see, he cannot sleep without, you know, meat and without alcohol. And in the morning, early morning, he get up and vigorous yoga for 45 minutes of yoga. So, suppose if this kind of person, if they don't do yoga, at least they may come out of this meat eating and, the liquor and all, because they may not be able to digest after some time. This person was 60 plus, and he was able to digest because of his power of yoga. And he proudly says that, you know, I perform yoga. That is why I am able to digest all these things. So, you know, this yoga, this kind of yoga is going to help one to go to hell, actually. Instead of going to, you know, here we are understanding the real yoga is for elevating oneself. You know, he go to various planets. In the earlier verses, we read about, you know, going to Mahaloka and from Janaloka, from Tapaloka and then Brahmaloka. And from there, you know, he come out of the coverings of the universes, which are 84 million miles. Each covering is 10 times more than the other coverings. So he is able to come out of, you know, this is the power of yoga. And whereas, you know, the yoga is used for going to hell. So that is the status of the current yoga. And the yoga practice, which is propagated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is process of hearing and chanting, that is the right yoga for this age of Kali. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Namaiva Kevalam, Kalo Nasyeva, 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 Gatiranyakaha. And there are, like, you know, we can understand from Srimad Bhagavatam that for various ages there are various processes. Like yoga was perfect process for Satya Yuga, where there was a serene atmosphere, you know, everything was calm and quiet. So there are so much of noise everywhere and so much of disturbance, and people used to live for 100,000 years in Satya Yuga. And this process was possible. Krite Jayate Vishnu. Then Tretayam Yajato Mate. In Treta Yuga, the people used to perform the fire sacrifices, various kinds of fire sacrifices to elevate oneself. And in Dwapara Yuga, they started worshipping because the faith started coming down. Because unless and until we see some form, then we may not believe God. And then people started worshipping the deity form. That is in Dwapara Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to follow all these processes. Even though some remnants of this is still followed as a ritual, more as a ritual, but it is very difficult to follow. Because we know our lifestyle. Because if we have to dedicate some time for such, it is very difficult. And if we have to perform yajna, it is very difficult to get, you know, good brahmanas to perform yajna or good ingredients. So this process of chanting is a very simple process. And we can do this chanting process. It is not necessary for us to do so much of austerity, which we understand from the scriptures that how various austerities are performed by various people, you know, like, you know, particularly in case of demons, the austerities they used to perform to achieve some material gain or some material power. It is very, very difficult to conceive. You know, like Hiranyakashipu, the way he was performing austerities. But today, the process that we need to follow in Bhakti Yoga is so simple. It is just chanting the holy name. And that too, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, looking at our condition, made it so simple that chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra and do some service to whatever extent you are able to, and then follow few regulated principles, and that's it. And be in the association of devotees to protect yourself from the influence of Maya. And Prabhupada mentions about different stages of chanting. There is the offensive chanting, that is called Nama Aparadha, and reflective chanting, Nama Bhasa, and offenseless chanting, that is Shuddha Nama. So, offensive chanting is the one, you know, when we are introduced to Krishna consciousness generally, so we may not have any background of what Bhakti Yoga is. And somebody may introduce us to Krishna consciousness and may suggest us to chant the holy name, and in the association of devotees, we may start chanting the holy name. But at the same time, we may commit so many offenses. There are mainly 10 offenses, the Vaishnava Paradas. So, knowingly or unknowingly, we may commit these offenses and also chant the holy name. So, this stage of chanting is called offensive chanting. And then after some time, when we continue with the process of offensive chanting, unknowingly, by the mercy of devotees or mercy of the Lord, that we may stop or reduce committing offenses. So then we reach the stage of Nama Bhasa. And then we continue further, then we may reach the stage of offenseless chanting. Or we may remain in any of these stages. And even the Nama Bhasa stage, wherein we stop committing offenses, that stage itself is, Prabhupada compares it, is to the stage of emancipation, that is stage of liberation. Like we mentioned then, you know, the soul comes out of the cerebral pit. So that stage, that stage is already achieved just by even reaching to the level of Nama Bhasa stage. And what to speak about offenseless chanting. Offenseless chanting, when we reach this stage, we are already in self-realization. And we are already, you know, even though the person may be physically present, Prabhupada mentions, but he will be already in Goloka Vrindavan or with Krishna. And how the process is possible? It is about the Bhakti Lata Beach. So this is very nicely explained. When we get the holy name, so that the seed is sown in our heart. And by the process of, you know, watering through hearing and chanting, then this Bhakti Lata Beach, this grows and goes into a creeper, and that starts moving upwards, and it surpasses the Brahmaloka and it surpasses the, all the layers of universes, seven layers of universe. Then it passes through various Vaikuntha planets, innumerable Vaikuntha planets, and then it reaches ultimately to Goloka Vrindavan or Krishna Loka, and where it reaches the lotus feet of Krishna. And one gets, the devotee gets the love of God, and his creeper, you know, he gets the fruits and it fructifies and gets the love of God. So even though, you know, like, you know, in case of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee. Even though Prabhupada was, you know, on physically he was present, but he was connected through this creeper, it is already in Krishna Loka. So this process, you know, we can just make a comparison how complex this process of yoga. And maybe it was perfectly okay for that age, but it is very difficult to conceive of this process for us in our condition. And the process which the Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu propagated, which is a very, very practical process. And to ensure that this creeper of bhakti that grows and that is not destroyed, and Prabhupada cautions in his purpose that we have to take care of this creeper. Otherwise, during the watering process, along with this bhakti creeper, there are other weeds which also can grow, and which is very dangerous, and which may kill the creeper, or, you know, if you don't take care of the creeper, then it may not grow, it may remain where it is. And what are these weeds? Prabhupada mentions, and also Prabhupada mentioned about we should be mindful of the following. The first one he mentioned is offense at the feet of a pure devotee, and this is compared to mad elephant offense. Like a mad elephant, if it is let loose, then it will go and destroy, you know, the nice flower garden. It takes no time, in no time it can destroy. The same thing can happen. It is very difficult, very rare that we get this creeper or we get the seed of bhakti, and it is really causes mercy. So once we receive this, when we start growing, we have to really, really take care of this creeper. Otherwise, we may not be able to grow this creeper, or it may remain where it is, or it may get destroyed. And the mad elephant is also compared to our mind. You know, in Bhagavad Gita, in the conversation between Arjuna and Lord Krishna, Arjuna mentions, you know, his mind is very, very difficult to control, and it is compared to a mad elephant. No, it is said, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, Pramati balabhadradam, Tasyaham nigraham manye, Vayoriva sudushkudam. The Chanchalam, it is flickering. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, Pramati is like mad. Balavat, it is very strong, obstinate. Balavatridam, it is very firm also. So, the mad elephant is also like that. You know, when it is very, very powerful, and it is very powerful, and it is very firm about destroying. So, if you don't take care, then, and you know, Arjuna asks this, you know, it, how to control this mind? It is so difficult. And the answer to this, a very nice answer, and Lord Krishna says that, yes, what you are saying is right, it is difficult to control, but it is possible through two processes. What is that process? It is abhyasa and vairagya. By detachment and by practice, it is possible. And I am sure any devotee who attends, you know, who comes in the association of devotee and who attends the next class, he must be having some, you know, some realization or some faith in this process. Because by practice, by hearing, so this process works. And when we actually practice, then we can understand, yes, this is the right process. And the next point, you know, one should be careful to guard himself or herself against such offenses. Always have to be scrutinizingly. I was reading some text from one of the lectures given by Guru Maharaj, wherein it was mentioned that we always have to be scrutinizingly examining and re-examining or introspecting about quality of our sadhana, our bhajana, our seva, our relationship with Vaishnavas, and what is the inner content of my heart when I was performing such seva, and am I doing it for prestige or recognition or to pleasing Krishna or Guru. So we have to be constantly watchful on these, and these are the weeds. You know, it is quite possible if we, after some time, there are so many people, when you are with the moment for some time, okay, there are so many new people coming, and, if you are whatever devotees out of their humility or to encourage each other, they may praise, you may get a lot of praise, but we should not misunderstand or we should not take this praise for granted, for taking it granted, and we should just give this, pass this praise or whatever, we see that we should pass it to the Guru and the Vaishnavas, and whatever is, the negative qualities we have, that we should think as if it belongs to us, and whatever good qualities we have, that is mainly because of association of devotees, and that is the right route, and with that we may be mindful of these offenses. And also it is mentioned about various other ways like material enjoyment and economic development and unnecessary engagements and hankering and lamenting. We may think that, to live in this material world we need, these are the basic necessities and we have to do, these are necessary. But unfortunately, this basic necessity so-called, there is no limit to that. And we always justify that, if we have this, what will happen if this happens in my life? And so in this process, we keep on accumulating and throughout our life and hankering and lamenting and this process. And with that, our spiritual progress, will not be to the extent which should have been otherwise. So we will be very busy accumulating things and taking care of ourselves, our body, our family, our near ones, dear ones, and so which is not really going to help us. Okay, as a duty we have to perform that, but we have to draw a line that, this is what I can do. And we have to constantly watch, as we discussed, that we have to constantly examine where are we, where is our sadhana when we started, and are we improving or are we going down, and whether our seva is improving or are we doing any seva. So, and also it is mentioned that if we have to get realization, then we have to involve in service, in some kind of service. And there are many services available. And if services are not available, services we can create ourselves also. If we discuss with the devotees and we can understand what kind of service we do. Without service, there will not be any realization. And it is very easy to sit here and say this, but very difficult to follow. And because, there is strong influence of Maya. Even though we try our best to practice devotional service, but there is also influence of Maya, very strong influence of Maya. And also the other weeds like prestige and adoration. And if we are able to, keep this at check, then we can make some progress. And I was just comparing few devotees or few individuals who have passed, achieved this path, like in case of this yoga practice, Dhritarashtra, we can we can read in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 13th chapter, I think, wherein passing away of Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra leaving his body is mentioned, and he follows this process of yoga, the yogi process, under the guidance of his younger brother Vidura. And Vidura takes him, you know, out of the palace, and then the Gandhari also follows, and then they sit on the bank of Ganges, and then, you know, the Sikh, you know, the follower of these principles, and you know, he was taking only water, and three times he was taking bath, and he was to perform Agnihotra, and then he is to meditate, and then he achieved the perfection, or he came out of, you know, like, you know, whatever cerebral pit, you know, the coming, the soul coming out of this. So, and if you see the devotees, there are many cases where this kind of complex process is not followed. They just leave the body in the presence of the Lord, or in the presence of devotees, or the thinking of Krishna. Like it is said in Bhagavad Gita 8.5 and 8.6, Antakaloch mam veva smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nakshatra samshayah. At the time of living body, you know, whatever the consciousness, if we think of Krishna, we go to Krishna. And yam yam vati smaran bhavam yajat yante kalevaram tam tameneti kaunteya sada tadbhava bhavitah. It is whatever we remember at the time of leaving the body, and that is what we achieve when we leave the body. And we can see in case of Haridas Thakur, you know, he you know, final rites for Haridas Thakur was performed by none other than the Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya himself. And if you see his life, you know, so he was not at all, we can understand whatever he has gone through, we can clearly understand that he was not in the bodily platform. Only we were able to see his body, he was just to, you know, show the example, the power of bhakti, he was there physically. Otherwise, he was living in Vrindavan. Because he was tortured like anything by the Qazi and his people, and he was not getting affected at all. Even under that stage, you know, he was beaten at 22 marketplaces. Under that condition, also, you know, he was compassionate to people who are beaten, because he knew that if he is not killed, you know, that is the order of Qazi. If he is not killed, then, you know, these people may be killed, you know, they may have to leave, you know, they may be killed. That is why, you know, he pretend to, you know, he achieved such a perfection through bhakti that, you know, he pretend to leave his body, and then, okay, he throw him in you know, some through some place, and then they thought, you know, he left his body. But Haridas Thakur was alive, and he came out and he started preaching. But these people were, at least, you know, for the time being, they are saved. Because they could go and tell that, you know, okay, now we have finished him, now he is no more. So with this kind of things, and this is not of Satya Yuga or Dwapara Yuga or any other age, which is, you know, millions of years old, then, you know, we can even say that, you know, it must have happened in those age. But Haridas Thakur's case was just 500 years old, it is not very old case, it's just 500 years. And the history is clearly written. Otherwise, many people don't believe in the Vedic literatures or the Puranas, because it was not written. And at that time, it was not necessary to write, because at that time the people were, or they were called Shrutidars. Since once they hear, they can remember that verse or anything for their lifetime. And today, you know, we need this paper, and we have to sit for so long for preparing, you know, for if you were to give 1 hour class, and then we have to spend few hours to remember. So that is the situation of me. So at that time it was not required, and we can see the many cases like that. Like there's one case which is of Santa Tukaram. Santa Tukaram, he is a saint, he is a devotee, he was, you know, was a devotee of Panduranga, that is, you know, Lord Krishna, and she is a very, very elevated devotee, and you know, he wrote so many the songs, which is called Abhangas. Hundreds of thousands of Abhangas he wrote. You know, whatever he sang, it was a perfect recitation. It was no, you know, whatever he sang, that is compiled. And then there were so many people who were very envious of him. And this incident is just maybe 300 years old. It is not even the 500 years old. It is just 300 years old. And so many people, so many pandits were very envious of him, because so many people were following. They were not coming to pandits, and they were going to Sukaram, and thousands of people used to go, and they used to take processions and go to the Pandapur. You know, some of the devotees may must have visited Pandapur. So they used to go from his place was a place called Dehu in Pune, and from there they used to go to Pandapur. It is around 200 plus kilometers by walk. They used to go, thousands of people, and that we can still see. And now also every year around 500,000 people go in this for this process. And since 300 plus years this is followed, and people are following this process. And he was made to throw all his whatever abhangas he compiled in the river, and he did that because he was punished and he was asked to. And then he was whatever his life's work is all gone. And then he was praying at the river, and then he got back those, some of the abhangas, and that we can see now. I think around 4,000 of them are printed and published, which is available. There are so many people are studying that. How this person can write? He is just a villager. He is not, you know, studied in some university, National University of Singapore, or you know, or maybe, you know, some university from Australia. A lot of people go there to study at Cambridge and Harvard and all those things. What he was having was the bhakti, and he was connected. And these are the cases we can really understand that, you know, this, the process of bhakti works now also. And apart from that, okay, this is 300 years old, and we can, even the latest status we can see, the devotees, the way they leave their body, we can understand they are not in this material world. Even though they may be just physically remaining here, and they are showing us example, the case of the Sridhar Maharaj leaving the body. You know, one day, His Holiness Chaitanya, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, you know, he was showing the video of the way, you know, Sridhar Maharaj left his body. Just that video, they had videographed, and the devotees were chanting, and Maharaj was, hand was going up and up, and at one stage, he just, you know, the last stage when he was leaving, his hand was up actually, and just it came down. And he was able to hear clearly, so we can feel that. And even the same way, the Maharaj, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and he was giving class. Otherwise, the medically, you know, when a person going through the cancer, the last stage of cancer, there's that pain, this particular name is given for that kind of pain only. I have not read this. They use this word there only. That's excruciating. So, you know, that kind of pain they go through, and under that pain also, they are blissful. It is, so doctors, you know, any doctors who see them also, you know, amazed to see this kind of thing. You know, how this person is blissful and smiling at this stage. And nobody can act this. And these are proofs of, you know, how the bhakti yoga and this process works. And the recent case of this one devotee from Radha Gopinath, Stota Krishna Prabhu. And this thing also is something similar. And till the last moment, he was blissful. And at the last stages of cancer. And we can understand the holy name, the power of holy name, just even though one may not be, you know, we can see the case of Ajamida, wherein it is not intentional. He was just calling his son's name, that is Narayana, at the time of living body. Even Ajamila, born in a family of a Brahmana, and initially he was in the mode of goodness, very much in the mode of goodness, but somehow he got into various, you know, he deviated from his path, and he got the association of, you know, a prostitute, and then he begot many children, and towards end of his life, and for you know, maintaining that family, he was doing all, the path, the deviated path he used to follow to maintain the family. Then at the last stage, he was on the deathbed, and nobody was there, because even his wife or his only some children were there, but nobody was to look after them. Even wife was not there, because you know, when the person is unfit, and that we can see, you know, lot of these attachments will remain as long as it is not a, you know, kind of love. It is basically, it is you know, just a dependence to take care of themselves actually. It is through selfish motives. So once they realized that, you know, he is of no use, they also left. And you are just calling that Narayana, and he just called Narayana by leaving the body. And then, you know, Vishnu Sutas and Yamadutas both came, because considering the number of the bad things he had done, the sin he committed in his life, he was supposed to go to hell. He was to be taken care of by the Yamadutas. But Vishnu Sutas arrived just because, you know, he called the name Narayana. So this name is so powerful, even just by accident, or even by by concentrating the holy name, even if you call the name and if you remember the Lord, so you know, you are under the control of the Vishnu Dutas at the time of living body. And I was discussing about the Santa Tukaram, and he is one case wherein he never left his body. He, you know, Pushpak Viman, which came from Vaikuntha, and that carried him. And today also, there is one particular Ekadashi, which is, if I am not wrong, it is called, which is maybe Mokshada Ekadashi. And on that Ekadashi day, wherever he left his, you know, he left for the Vaikuntha, and there is a big tree. It's a banyan tree or some big tree, and that tree that shakes at that particular, he left at noon time, at noon. And on this day, there are so many thousands of people gathered now also, and on this day, just to see this situation, just movement of this tree. And we can see that something is moving there actually. That is the place where he left his body. So, there are so many cases, you know, or so many incidences which gives us a full conviction that this process, whatever is mentioned herein, is working in this age of Kali, is a perfect process. And we have to take care of whatever Bhakti Lata Beej which has sown in our heart. We have to ensure that this creeper is you know, taken care properly. And to take care of these, you know, certain things which we have to ensure is, you know, like enthusiasm, which we should be very enthusiastic in whatever service we do. And you know, it is mentioned that if you are not enthusiastic, just act enthusiastic. And if you act enthusiastic, after some time, we feel enthusiastic. And I was, you know, hearing to one Maharaj's lecture, and Maharaj was mentioning about the social pressure. You know, so many people deviate because of social pressures. You know, we can see the young generation, they get into so many bad habits because of social habits. People get into smoking and, you know, taking intoxicants. Or even if, particularly in India, we can see the people who are born in a family of, you know, the vegetarian families, and they get into meat eating because of social pressure. Because when they are in the company of meat eaters, they also, you know, they feel, you know, what is this, you know, what kind of person you are, you know, everybody is eating and what difference. So then they just get into that, and so many thousands of, you know, people are getting into this kind of because of social pressure. And Maharaj was mentioning that we also need to have healthy social pressure. Like, you know, we have certain festivals we follow. And like, you know, recently we celebrated Rath Yatra. So when we know that so many devotees are attending, so we also don't want to miss. You know, we may have many other engagements. Our mind may say, you know, one whole day, you know, we can do this work. And you know, but so many other things, we may not be very enthusiastic from heart. But if you don't go, you know, devotees will ask, Prabhu, where were you? Prabhu, are you very busy? Or, you know, these kind of things. Or, you know, maybe somebody will come with very compassionate, you know. He may not ask anything, you know, he may say some compassion, you know, because he understands that, you know, you could not come. So, these are the kind of healthy social pressures. Like in India, Maharaj was mentioning about the book distribution. For 1 month, you know, they celebrate in many temples, they celebrate book marathon. And during this time, anybody who never showed any book, who never distributed any book in his life, they also go out. Because everybody talks about numbers. Prabhu, how many books? Prabhu, how many Bhagavad Gita? So at that time, you know, if you say that, you know, no Bhagavad Gita, then, you know, you feel that you cannot distribute. And some people, you know, they buy and they freely distribute to their friends and they say, you know, I have distributed so many. But somehow, you know, these are the kind of things. And it is good, actually. So, and we should participate. We should not go away from these kind of things. And there was one story of in Chaitanya Charitamrita of a devotee of Kamalakanta. And devotee, he was associating with during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. And he was a devotee in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come to know that, you know, he was taking association of, you know, the offensive people, many offensive people. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed his, you know, close associates that, you know, don't allow him to come. You know, keep him away, you know, take him away from here and let him not meet me again. And he was so feeling, you know, very bad that, you know, I was in the association of Supreme Lord and now I am going out of the association because of this offense I committed. And he said that, okay, fine. And then he get the message that, you know, Mahaprabhu said that, you know, for millions of years he is not going to come back, you know, he is not going to see you. And he was very happy. He said, is it? Millions of years. And then, you know, he was surprised, this devotee who communicated this to him. Then why? Because at least, you know, after millions of years I can see the Lord. Because this is the kind of, this is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That even after millions of years, also if you can get the association, that is also a, you know, you can make your life perfect. So it is for the devotees, this kind of devotees are not concerned with, you know, coming out of this, you know, cerebral prick or, you know, going out of whatever. But devotee, what devotees hanker for, in the last line it is mentioned of the second verse, that what devotees want is the association of devotees. They want to be in the highest perfection of life is to enjoy life constantly in the association of the Lord. One who can relish this does not aspire after any temporary enjoyment of material world via other media. It is devotees, you know, want to be in the association of devotees, at association of the Supreme Lord, and to remember Krishna all the time. And there is one verse, Kale Tosha Nidhe Rajan Hati Hi Eko Mahan Gunan Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vijay. In the age of Kali, no, the age of Kali is version of the false. But only the benediction is, just by taking the holy name, we can achieve the perfection. And I was hearing one class of His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj. Maharaj was mentioning about disqualifications of a disciple. There are 5 disqualifications of a disciple. And what are these disqualifications? Maharaj mentioned about hypocrisy, the first one. The one should not be a hypocrite. And then the second one is duplicity. One should not be duplicitous. And Maharaj mentioned that, you know, the hypocrisy is a full-blown form of duplicity. Duplicity is incidental, you know, we may do at some place, you know, some circumstances. It is just act what we are not. and then unfaithful. If the disciple is unfaithful to his spiritual master, then it is a disqualification. And once he is unfaithful, then he is also disrespectful. So disrespect to the spiritual master. And once you are disrespectful, then you lose enthusiasm to, you know, to serve the devotees, lose enthusiasm in devotional service. And a progress is checked or you may fall down. And the last one is familiarity. You know, spiritual master may treat us like a child, you know, as a father treating a child. And he may be, you know, very close. Like particularly you can see the closeness here in Singapore. You know, the spiritual masters who come and who stay with devotees for 3, 4, 5 days, you know, for a few days. And it is very close association. And it is, at that time it is quite possible that, you know, we may become so familiar and we may misunderstand or we may take this association for granted. And we have to have that awe and reverence for the spiritual master. At no stage we should not treat them as ordinary beings. Because in this age of, in this particular period, you know, to practice devotional service for so many years and to come out of all the other hankerings and lamentation and everything, material attachment, and completely depending on the mercy of Krishna, it is not a small thing. You know, we can understand as a grahastha, you know, so many things we may have, but still so many things we want to acquire. Because we feel that, you know, if this thing goes wrong, you know, what is next and how? You know, but these devotees have come out of all these things and they are completely depending on Krishna and in the association of devotees. And we should try our best to take care of these dedicated souls and who are, you know, already connected with Krishna. They are just, you know, for it is their mercy or it is Lord Chaitanya's mercy that they are giving us association. It is so precious. And we really feel if we look at closely, we really take them for granted in many occasions. We get the opportunity to serve, but we have our own engagements. And we should try our best to serve these devotees. And before I end, we chant with the last one verse of Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhya jimam namaskuru mame vaishu satyamti pratijani priyosine. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer homage to unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. And this is what Lord Krishna said to Arjuna. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments, any additions?
Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice class. The last time of this purport, that one who can relish this, that association of the Lord, it does not aspire for any temporary enjoyment of the material world via other media. So does it mean that we can aspire for the temporary enjoyment of this material world via Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, I was reading about this. About, you know, whether whatever service we do, whether we are pleasing Krishna or whether we are enjoying. And many occasions we feel that, you know, we should always be pleasing Krishna. It is not for our enjoyment, like, you know, kirtan. So, or maybe, you know, when we are dancing or when we are doing any seva. So most of the times, you know, conditions say it is, you know, we do the service which we like. And it is for our enjoyment. We may think that, okay, it is, you know, we have to do the service. But it is, if we closely look at, it is for our enjoyment. In Krishna consciousness. So, this question was asked, and I think it is a conversation with Srila Prabhupada, and where Prabhupada said that, okay, even if you are enjoying, do that. But after some time, even your chanting or for your own enjoyment, it is good. You are not going and enjoying somewhere in the club with, you know, some rock song and, you know, rock band or something. You are in the association of devotees, you are chanting the holy name, and still you are enjoying, okay, enjoy. And by enjoying this, then we may come to the stage of, pleasing Krishna. We may come to that stage. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for such a nice class. Just one question. It is quite, I wouldn't say easy, but it's very reachable to chant with devotees, and like those in Bhagavatam class, it's very nice to relish Bhagavatam in this way with the association of devotees. But at the same time at home, it can be quite difficult for me to, sit down with Bhagavatam or even chant my rounds. The mind is telling me maybe you can do some rounds later or maybe at night, or Bhagavatam can be postponed to tomorrow. How do we make the urgency to actually, read Bhagavatam and chant our rounds very enthusiastically daily? Just a question.
Thank you.
This is quite a normal question for a devotee who is already doing so many service. Because by knowing Dinavasar Prabhu's schedules, so Prabhu may get time for sleeping for 3 hours or 4 hours or whatever, 5 hours. I don't think Prabhu is sleeping more than the, Prabhupada also suggested, you can up to 6 hours you can sleep. I think Prabhu may sleep only 3 hours. And it is quite obvious this question you may get. Because when a person is involved in so much of service, definitely you get a feeling that what you are doing is not enough. You are not concentrating on your chanting. And that feeling is good. And that feeling, with that feeling we can really make progress. And with that feeling, when we perform our sadhana, and then, we are in a much safer situation than getting a feeling that my chanting is going on very well now. Sometimes, when we discuss at the initial stage, Prabhu, how is your chanting going on, Prabhu? Prabhu, fantastic, Prabhu. As if, we have, only we chant only Shuddhanava. So it is at the neophyte stage, we get this feeling that, okay, the chanting was going on very well. If we close and look at, we may not have concentrated on the real holy name or the holy, the chanting process throughout many rounds actually. I can feel that, I know that, sometimes I'm lost. After 2 rounds I may remember, okay, I'm chanting now. So this happens. But anybody who is feeling that, okay, my chanting is not going on very well, and if my reading is not good, and this feeling, this is a humility, and it just, having this feeling and doing nothing is not going to help. But when we act on this feeling, when we take this feeling very seriously and do our service nicely, definitely we will come to the stage of whatever is suggested, that the growth of the creeper to touch. We need not to worry where the creeper is going now. So, but we can definitely make a progress in our spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Comments? Nothing else? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Please forgive me for any offenses.